this one I received. Isaiah 50, this one I received. For now, thus says the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, I shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fires, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the things kindle upon thee. This is the Bible reading.
Amen.
Amen. Good to be here on this beautiful day. The sun's shining. We thank God not only for this new day, but we can be here together to break bread and fellowship together and just enjoy the joy of Christianity and being a part of the body of Christ. I want to welcome all our visitors. Parry, good to have you back with us again. We're just so thrilled to see you, and we really appreciate you being here. For those who have travelled from afar, we've got those who have come from Coventry, Danny and his good lady, we appreciate you being here. Thank you for travelling down and joining us today. For those who have not met yet, I apologise for that. Before we leave today, I want to make sure that we give you a very warm welcome, but let you know that this congregation, we welcome you into our assembly. And pray that the time that you have here will be a blessing. If we can serve you in any way, please make sure or make it known to us before you leave this day. What a blessing to be a part of the body. You know, it seems strange, I'm probably not preaching as much at the moment. We're so blessed with some wonderful ministers, wonderful preachers. You know, we've had some superb lessons from our brothers over the months, and we're very grateful for the skills and abilities that are present in this congregation of teachers and preachers and all those that are serving in such an incredible way. So we want to thank you for that. For me, it's a blessing to sit and just hear, you know, the hearts and minds of those who are studying God's word and seeking to share it, and that is what we want to do. We want to share the kingdom of God, share his message, and let the world see what we have found, you know. The word of God changes lives, there's no question about it, and so, you know, it's just a blessing, and I appreciate this congregation, I appreciate each and every member as we all strive together to make a difference in this city. I was thinking back, trying to figure it out the other day, how old I was. When I met Janet, I think I was 15 years old. Yeah, that's a long time, you know, what, 35 years. When I first met my wife, I was a nuisance little young man, finding his way in life. And that's when I met my wife, Janet, at that time. And I remember the preacher's wife teaching her the Bible, and Janet became a Christian, and she'd been at my side through everything. You know, through all the ministry work that we've done over the last many years of ministry work around the UK, as we've established congregations and started or got involved in ministries around the UK. Of course, being here is a great blessing, of course. And I look back and I remember one thing. The most important thing is this, that with God, you're going to be okay. With God, you're going to be okay. I look at the recent situation, what a testimony, what a great God. You know, when we look back at Janet, when she had her brain tumor, you know, and it was all the unknown to us, and I remember the day that she had surgery, the hospital, they were on strike. But they, when we called and said that she's deteriorating, they said bring her in, and the surgeon said I'll take that operation, and he brought his staff in. They came off strike. She was one of the only operations that day in the Nottingham Medical Hospital. Incredible. And 8 hours she had the surgery, and we see through prayers, listen brethren, prayers is the most incredible gift that we have, is the gift of prayer. So powerful. When we talk to God, when we put things to God, he listens and he answers. And whatever you're going through in life, take it to him in prayer. and bring it to the church so that we can share that as we did. We brought Janet's situation to the church, so together we united in prayer. And so she had a surgery, and then we know there was a bit of recovery, and then all of a sudden it returned, and she had radiotherapy every day for weeks, every day backwards and forwards to the hospital, into the hospital, have the therapy, come home, and then I'd go back to the ministry, and then come back every day. We would continue to do that, and all the time people here were praying, all the time we were praying, and we were preparing ourselves, knowing that God had got it all in hand. And so last week, we were blessed to go to the hospital after her last MRI, and the news was very good. They said that the tumour has not grown anymore, it doesn't look like it's going to grow anymore, it's all stagnant, that you've just got to get your strength back, but you're on the right path. And if anything, now you've just got to get your strength back. And what an impact that had on Janet, myself, the family. It was a tremendous weight lifted, but what a great God. What an amazing God. You know, what he can achieve in our lives, brethren. You know, we preach it all the time. We're up here preaching and teaching and talking about these things. This is an example. This is an example. You know, I've had Janet at my side in the ministry throughout my ministry. When I was studying, she was working to pay the income while I was in studying for the Bible. And for all those years, we lived off that. She was working in dog food factories and light bulb factories and packing stuff and doing all kinds of things, anything she could do to enable me to do that kind of thing. And throughout our ministry, she's always been there. And so to have her back is wonderful. It's just the best feeling ever, you know, and to know that we can continue with our ministry and our partnership that we have. But the point is this: God makes things possible. And when we pray to God, he never fails. He will not let us down. We may not always get the answer we want, or it may not be as quick as we want, but it will come. And he provides the answers. And I'm going to tell you this. I have no doubts in my mind about God. I have no doubts in my mind. Whatever you are going through in your life, whatever situations you are facing in your life, I'm going to tell you now, trust God. He will 100% get you through it. He will get you through. He's not going to remove those problems. Don't ever pray for the problems to be removed. Pray that God will get you through them. That is the most important prayer. God is the one who knows the answer. If that problem needs to be removed, he will remove it. But if that problem stays, trust him. Trust in God. 18 months we waited for the results. 18 months of the uncertainties and the unknowing. And we knew that whatever the situation, God would take us through. And the one lesson that I've learned in my life, and I want to share this with you today, this is our lesson. I want you to take this home, please, and use it. Because we live in a fearful world. We live in a fearful world. You look at the conflicts, you look at the battles going on in the world, you look at all the things happening around us, the insecurities through our countries and through our leaders and through so many things. Listen, we live in a fearful world, but one thing for certain is we can trust God. He will get us through. And I say this to you today because I want to say this. This is our lesson. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Our passage of scripture that our brother Ori read so well for us. And do you know what a blessing to see our young men doing such an incredible growth in them is wonderful. And I appreciate the reading that you read this morning publicly is a big thing to do. I'm very grateful for that. In Isaiah 43, if you read it all the way through from 1 through 11, this is what I want you to do that. When you get home, I want you to read this. And I want you to take note of it. And if you can, you can even highlight some of the things in here. Because these are things that are going to encourage you and help you through whatever difficulties that you are going through in your life. And the first thing is this, in the passage as we look in there, it tells us the importance of our relationship with God. Now, of course, in this passage, it's talking about the Redeemer of Israel. And it says in verse 1, but no, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by your name, and you are mine. And I want you to think about this and read through this passage today when you get home. If you can, sit with your families, read it together. Just remind yourself of this. God tells this message, do not fear. Do not fear. That is the message he wants you. Why? Why, Lord, do I not fear? Why should I not fear? He says, because I have created you. I have created you. That means that each and every person in this room was created by God. Can you remember before you were born? Was there anything before that time? Has anybody got a memory that goes back beyond birth? 100 years ago, I didn't exist. I was nothing. I wasn't here. There was nothing there. I was born, and then as you begin to grow and learn and understand, you suddenly see, oh, I'm a human being. I've got abilities, I've got gifts, I've got things that I can do, and I can think, and I can do all these kinds of things. You see, God created you. You are personal to him. In Psalm 100 and verse 3, it says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Notice this. Our creator is God. I was created by God. He created me. He says that it is he that have made us. Each and every person in this room, listen, take this personal. This is a blessing. He said, he made us and not we ourselves. We never made ourselves. We think sometimes we do. We think all our achievements is it's my achievements. No. God's achievements through you. He created you. What does it say? We are his. We are his. Why should I be afraid of anything? Why should I be afraid of him? He says, we are the people and the sheep. And he says, of what? His pasture. We are sheep in his pasture. The best place to be is in Christ. The best place to be in Christ. Why? Because you're in his field. You're in his land. You're in his pasture. We are his sheep. We talked about this morning. How important the sheep are to our Lord. In other words, the description was, when this was written in a way that the people could understand. And so because they were familiar with sheep and they understood shepherds and they understood all that, these things were written to help them understand. So, he's saying you were sheep so that they're thinking, oh, wow, they're a flock then, they're a flock of people. Oh, not only that, he's our shepherd. He's our shepherd. They know what a shepherd is. They know how the sheep are. And he says we're in his pastures, which means we get the best. We must remember that God created us. He created us for his pleasure, for his purpose, and for his praise. And we should not fear because our Creator is all sufficient. And so, whatever you're going through, brethren, today, whatever's going on in your life, whatever you're struggling with, you may be at a time where you wake up and you're feeling unsure about yourself. Maybe you're wondering, where am I? Maybe a little bit lost, or maybe you're overwhelmed with things going on in your life that things are consuming you. Remember this. He says in his passage this, so he created us, but he also says, I have redeemed you. I have redeemed you. Redemption means God has paid something for you. I remember a story that somebody, a preacher said when I was a young lad, and I always remembered it. You probably heard it before, but there was a guy, and he was a bit of a carpenter, and he carved for himself a little sailing boat, only a toy boat, but it was quite a big size, and he carved it, and it was beautiful. And he took it down to the river, and he put it in the river to watch it, and as he watched it, a strong gust of wind came, and a current came, and it took his boat away. It disappeared. And he ran down the bank, and he was trying to catch up with it, but he couldn't keep up with it, and eventually it just went out of sight and disappeared. And he went home, and that very thing that he had created, he had now lost. About a year later, he was walking through the town, through the marketplace, and he came to a second-hand store, and he looked in the window, and there was his boat. Somebody had found it, had kept it, and then eventually took it to the second-hand store and put it up for sale. So the man opened the door and he walked into the shop and he said, excuse me, he said, that boat, I built it, and I put it in the river and I lost it. And the guy goes, listen, if you want that boat, you're going to have to pay the price. And so the guy said, how much is the boat? And he said, it's £110. And he handed over £110 and redeemed his boat and took it back home again. His possession was back with him at a price for him. He created it, he built it, he made it, he designed it, he lost it, and then he bought it back. I have redeemed you. Listen, brethren, we've been bought back by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have redeemed you. Our Creator created us and He redeemed us. Not only did He create us, but He lost us and then He bought us back. What do I need to fear in this life? 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, the results, therefore of all of this, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. That is the relationship that we are in. This is why we can take comfort and confidence in the struggles and trials that we face in our life, because of the God. The God who watches over us. In Titus 2 and verse 14, he says about the one who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. You see, what took us away was sin. What took us away was all the bad in this world. And he says, I'm buying you back. I'm buying you back. You deserve punishment, but I'm going to redeem you and buy you back and take you back into my possession. That's what I want to do. And so he knows you, he knows you, he owns you. In the passage he says this, fear not, I have called you by your name. I called you by your name. He knows you by your name. Imagine standing in a football stadium and you look around and you can just point at everybody's head and tell them who they are. Only the Creator can do that, because He is all powerful, He is all knowing, and He created us. The guy who had the boat knew that boat inside out. He'd seen parts in that boat that no one else had seen, because they were the things that were right inside that once it was put together could no longer be seen. But the person who designed the boat knew every piece of it, even the things that were hidden. Think about that. God knows you. He knows, listen, your struggles, he knows what they are. The things, your temptations and sins, he knows about them. He knows. Don't be confident in that. He knows. When you go to God, you're telling him what he already knows, but you're declaring that I know this is wrong in my life. I want to be right with you, my God. I want to be the best that I can be. I'm not perfect, but I do not want to fear, because I know that you know me. Luke 12, verse 7, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than the sparrows of the air. And of course, we know that God feeds the birds, the wildlife. They don't have to go to work, or they do work if they gather their food, but God feeds them. We talk about the lilies in the field. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not. Who takes care of them? God does. All the splendor, all the glory is the work of God. And so the passage is saying this. It's saying God knows everything about you. He knows every detail about you because he made you. So he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because you're more valuable than the sparrows. And they're not afraid because they're being looked after well by God. And so God is taking care of you. And sometimes it doesn't seem like it. You know, sometimes you just think, oh man, you know how many more trials. I think with Janet's situation, you know, the days when you're not doubting, but you're just thinking, come on, you know, let's get through this. Can we want to speed it up a bit. And so the point is this, that listen, be patient with God and trust him. Be patient with him. He'll get you through. He'll take you through. He knows everything about you. He knows every part of you. He says, fear not, because he knows you. Listen to this. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. That's the Creator. I have called you by name. Here we go. You are mine. You are mine. That is as personal as it gets. You belong to God. God treasures you. You are so important to him. Each and every, you know, we know probably little about each other. We don't know everybody's stories. We don't know the ins and outs. But believe me, God knows every person in this room. He knows your trials, your struggles, the things you're tempted with. He knows the times we fall, the times we're good, the times we're... He knows it all. And he redeemed us back. What a powerful thought to know that my God says, you are mine. You are mine. That's a possession. Like the guy with the boat, that was his boat. He made it. And when he lost it, he lost what was his. And so he paid the price to get it back, and he said, this boat belongs to me. This is mine. This is my treasure. This is my possession. I know it better than anybody else because I made it. And so since he paid for you, you belong to him. He claims you for his own. Listen, that's not like a slavery thing. That isn't him like saying, I own you. It's like him saying, you are a part of me. You know, I love you. You are a big part of me. God looks at you as his gift, as his treasure, as something that is so precious and so special. He says in verse 2, fear not, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. How many times in our life do you just feel like you're all alone? You feel like you're the only one. There are times when you may be the only one. There'll be times when you may be alone physically. You may be, find yourself in that situation. But you're not without God. And there are times, I know there's people in this room who are in situations now who have got no family in this country at all. Nobody. They just have the people in this room. There are people in this room, I know, that's all they have. But you see, we have the promise of God's presence. That means that through my life, my God is with me. I'm going through a burden, he knows about it. He's waiting for me to acknowledge it. This is a trial. This is a struggle. I'm struggling here, Lord. He'll get you through. Because he's with you. He's not going to carry you all the time. Sometimes he wants you to learn. It's like with children. You know, when you've got your children and you take them out and you spend your life. I have seven children. Listen, I've spent my life carrying kids on my shoulders like this everywhere I go. But there's a time when you take them off and you say, no, you're going to walk. And they're walking. They say, pick me up. You know, and you say, no, you're going to walk. Keep walking. Keep walking. And you're encouraging them to keep walking. That is God. He wants you to keep going. He wants you to keep walking. He wants you to get strong. And that strength comes through going through the things that we have. Listen, we have the promise of God's presence. He's with you. He knows you. He is at your side. You belong to him. He made you. He's the creator. Matthew 20, verse 20. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of time. I'm always there. He doesn't change. Even in the darkest times in your life, in Psalm 23, verse 4, that yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil, for thou art with me. Through the darkest times in your life, through the difficult times of your life, remember. And then we see this. Fear not. He will be there for you because he says, I love you. I love you. His love is perfect. If ever you want an example of love, this is it. The example of love given by God, the creator of this world, whose people were lost. And he showed his love. In Romans 5 verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love towards who? Towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. Those who hung him on a cross, he was asking for forgiveness for them. People who at that time hadn't known what they had done. They don't know what they're doing. But maybe they will at some point. And when that turning point comes in their life, maybe some of those people who hung him on the cross, maybe there was a time when the gospel reached them and they gave their lives to Christ in baptism and became a part of his body. Christ died for them. Christ died for you. Christ died for me. And so, brethren, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Let me finish with this. He says, fear not, I will gather you. I will gather you. Our time on this land is short. And I'm beginning to realise that. Every time I have a birthday now, I think, wow, this time's going quick. You know, bits and pieces have started to fall apart, you know, and you're suddenly finding things you used to do are just that bit more difficult. Anna's nodding, she knows. Listen, what matters is this. Get it right while you're here on this earth. Get it right now. This is the beginning. Eternity awaits. An eternity with a creator who created us. God says, why are you afraid? All the things that you go through in your life, why are you afraid? He says, I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to know I am the creator. I created you. I redeemed you. I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that I will gather you. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, here we go, we shall always be with the Lord. Always be with the Lord. He's with us now. He's with us now. But this passage says when that day comes, we will be always with him. So he says, therefore, in other words, Because of all of this, comfort one another with these words. That is the comfort that I want to leave you today. Brethren, take that lesson. Take it home. It's not mine. You know, this is God's word. I'm just passing it on as a messenger and sharing it with you that I need this and you need this. Trust God. Don't be afraid, whatever you're going through. Listen, if we can help you go through things, we're here to do that as well. But trust God and know He's your creator. He loves you. He redeemed you. And He wants you to spend eternity with Him in heaven. God bless you. Let's try to see the invitation.